Jehovah, you are God, Elohim. Sing with me. Elohim, Jehovah, you are God, Elohim, 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 Elohim, Jehovah. Stop. Elohim, Jehovah, you are God. Elohim, Elohim, Jehovah, you are God. Elohim, Elohim, Jehovah, you are God. Jehovah, you are God, Elohim, Elohim, Jehovah, you are God, Elohim, Elohim, Jehovah. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let's bow our head and pray a little. Our Father and our God, we reference thee this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercies. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this congregation and in our lives. And we worship you right now. We want you to be in our midst and speak to us and give us insight into your doings. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Yeah, I would like to just continue a little bit in the message that the Lord laid upon my heart some time ago. But I want to talk briefly on some other small things so that everybody will gain something. I want to talk to the young people, then I'll talk to everybody. There is something that when we first got this message of the end time, that the Lord gave us some insight that you can read it with me in Gospel of John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8, I will read verse 51. This is going to be, that part of it is going to be very brief. Instead of going into a long sermon of it, it says, seek God while you are young. While you are young, seek the Lord. Maybe an appropriate exhortation when you see these young little kids singing praises to the Lord. Seek God while you are young. In John chapter 8, verse 51, the Lord gave us a verse there that is worth noting in this hour. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Well, actually, well, you see, that is for the young people? Yes, it's for the young people. I have a sermon I preached some time ago that where I was saying, seek God while you are young. You see that from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, Solomon, the wisest man, was telling us what happens when you grow old. When you grow very old. And he says, seek God right now while you are very young. And in line with that is the fact that if you seek God while you are very young, you have the tendency of moving close to God. By the time you get to that age of what you call old age, you can beat that old age. You can beat it.
And I'm going to quickly give you some Bible verses in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. You can read it yourself later. But this is what Solomon was saying. I'm reading from a different version. If you are used to King James Version, you see it in a little format. Here's what you call International Children's Bible. And I read verse 1. It said, "Remember your Creator while you are young. Your old age is coming when you will have many troubles." And he said, when that time comes, you won't have much to enjoy. When you become old, see, the light from the sun, moon, and stars will seem dark to you. Why? Because the eyes are fading away. He said, it will seem as if the rain clouds never go away. Why? Because everything looks dark. You can't even recognize. Remember the story of Isaac and Jacob? Isaac couldn't recognize his son Jacob from his son Esau because of old age. So Solomon was giving us that wisdom. He said, seek God now while you are young. And he went further. He said, at that time, your arms will lose their strength. And on and on he went. But when we received the message of the end time, we learn that God, our God, at whom you are called to come and serve, you can beat that old age. Not only beat the old age, you can beat death. Amen? Because what is old age? It is a progression to death. Or disease is a progression to death. Sickness is elementary death. But Christ said, if a man keep my saying, you shall never see death. So, and I mentioned in some of those sermons, I said, if you start young and you begin to pursue God, because it's a long walk. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, that Enoch, one of our pre-ancestors, he walked with God 300 years. I said, 300 years looks to me, that sounds to me, it's a long walk. But if you start early, you will walk with God. And he said he walked with God and he pleased God that he never see death. And God took him because there is an exception to all the rules. God allowed exceptions. And if you say, well, maybe it's not death you want to beat, but what about this old age? Look at what Solomon went further and wrote in all these Ecclesiastes verses. Say, your strong legs will become weak and bent. When the keepers of the house, that's how the King James Version saw it, said it, when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves. I told some. I said, if you young people will go to the homes for the elderly, you see people in their 90s, in their 80s. Some of those men, when they were young, could be gladiators with muscles, but now they are bent and they only can walk like this. See that Solomon says, seek God now when you still have strength, while you are young and you can do all these things. You can go about and witness. You can fast and pray. You can do all this and grow to supernatural heights, because when Christ said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see. That is the final, the greatest reward is never see that. And he gave it to some few people on this planet Earth. We know about Enoch. We know about Elijah the prophet. They kept his sayings. Now you say, well, you. Look at that verse. Didn't he say, if a man keep my sayings, he shall enter the kingdom of God? No, that's not the prerequisite for the kingdom of God. You see many people that did not keep 100% of his sin. But if you keep just 30%, you'll be in the kingdom of God. If you keep just 60%, you'll be in the kingdom of God. But if you want to beat that death, he said, if you keep my sayings, you shall never see death. That is the 100% or more. Amen? And that is the message we receive when we are in our 20s in colleges that we call end time message. And many people started running the race. But it's not over yet. You have to keep his sayings. If you fall by the wayside and you ended up 60%, you will be in the kingdom of God because you are already saved. Maybe you fall by the wayside, you are just 30%, you will be in the kingdom of God, you are already saved. But if you keep my sayings, and they wanted to stone Jesus for that because they didn't know whom he was. But he is telling you and me, you can beat the death. You can even beat the old age that Solomon was talking about here. I remember talking to somebody here in Phoenix many years ago. He was 80-something years old. And the woman, she told me that two times her knees have been reassembled Why? She fell. I mean, when they get to that age, they have to be careful. Take them upstairs. You have to hold them like a 1-year-old to climb the stairs. That is old age. If you live long enough on this planet and you don't do what this Lord Jesus Christ is saying, keeping is saying, you, the aging process will step in and you'll be like that too, where you are almost can't climb the stairs like a little baby. They have to hold your hand. Grandpa, grandpa, grandpa. That is what Solomon is describing here. He said, you better seek God now while you are young, because when you grow old, all those things will step in. But Jesus Christ said, it is possible for him to keep you alive and keep you strong, because we have examples in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 34 was reported that Moses told of us his own story, chapter 34, verse 7. And Moses said, the Bible said about Moses that he was 120 years old. His eyes did not fade. His eyes did not fade. Neither did his strength abate. Why? Because he walked with God. And God is saying, if you keep my saying, you can even beat it. That is the greatest height. We wanted to get to that height, and that's why we are running the race. So you, children, you have a goal to shoot for, but you have to start early. Amen? If you start early, you get there, because God wants it for you, not for you can cash it. Cash me if you want. That's not, God is not doing a cash me game. He wants to bring it, but there is a prerequisite. If a man keep my saying. Now, the saying is every saying of Jesus. That includes fasting and praying. That includes obedience. That includes, even if you say, eat the right kind of food. That's part of his sayings. Have to do with everything. The kind of food you eat. If you say exercise and you don't exercise, that's part of his saying. You may say, well, that has nothing to do with it. It has to do with it. So it's all his sayings. So you have to just keep listening to him. I remember telling a friend here, some of my friends, I said, when I came to this country, after I've been in college for years, I never even do any more exercise. I didn't do any exercise because I got born again. All those things were nothing. Then I came over here, the Lord showed to me in a vision that me and the Lord, you just like in a vision, we're playing tennis. I said, what do you mean by that? I said, go play tennis. I said, well, I didn't see anybody playing tennis. I saw a bunch of tennis courts at Arizona State University. It was summertime, nobody was playing. So I went and bought a racket. I knew how to play in the high school, but that was almost 10 to 12 years before then. I never played since after high school. So I went and got the racket and I started playing to the wall, and I see somebody wants to play. And I said, yeah, I got frustrated, nobody's playing tennis. Then the Lord showed himself to me again. Said, let's run. Run, why? On the field, I saw parks, grasses. I said, well, let's run. Lord showed me, if you can't find a way to play tennis, run. So he gave me, he said, go and exercise. Well, I said, well, what is the purpose? Because in this country, if you eat their food, you put on weight. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Africa, when we are growing up, even if you eat the food and you fill your belly, you never grow weight because it's gravity. Ash, whatever it is, no protein, nothing. That was how I worried. Praise the Lord. So what you are saying then is, the Lord is saying, if you keep my sayings. You have to keep everything. If he tells you that, do that. If he tells you anything else, do that. It's his sayings. So that's what I'm trying to make it to see when he say, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. So you just have to follow him in every step, including all that he said in the scriptures. You may say, where is it in the Bible that you go and fast or you should go and do exercise? Show me in the Bible. If he comes to you in a vision, if you are listening to him and you want to walk this road like those prophets, those are prophets now, Enoch, Elijah, those are the people he walks with and he talks to them. If you want to do, to get to that height, you've got to walk the prophet's ladder. Amen. And you can start while you are young by listening to him, by praying to him, by talking to him, and he talks back to you. That is how we started. Take a quiet time, read your Bible, talk to Jesus, and he talks back to you. Then you begin to hear him. Then when he tells you, do this, like I said, you make me to go and run and exercise, and I started being an exercise person. So you can learn from some people who said they exercise, yeah, but when he begins to talk to you, you just do what he says. Amen? Do what he says, because if a man keep my sins, is what he's saying. Not if you keep Brother Julius saying, if you keep his sin, you will never see that. But you have to learn to listen to him. Learn to hear him. Walk. That's what walking with him means. You are walking with somebody that he talks, you listen. You talk, he listen. You converse, conversation. That is the first thing you want to do, to be, to follow the precepts of the law, and you will live, and you can beat that old age and even death. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If a man keep my sayings, he shall never see it. Now I'm going to talk a little bit on another exhortation I gave some during the time we are doing the breaking of bread. And the Lord laid to my heart, hey, give this exhortation also, because it is useful, very, very useful for all of us. That is where I said, blessings in disguise is what God sometimes will give to you and me. Blessings in disguise. Amen. Whatever you are going through right now, economic crisis, afflictions through sickness and disease, whatever is the physical, economic situation you might find yourself in, if you look closely, if you watch carefully, and if you know the ways of the Lord, and if you have committed your ways unto the Lord, you might see that there is a silver lining. God is actually preparing you for something great he wanted to do. And I'm going to give examples from the scriptures of situations like that, that this is how God works most of the time. He will allow situations, circumstances, that you will be surprised. Why in the world am I in this? But it is actually that circumstance to bring you a blessing. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying. There's a Bible scripture that said, God said he has hidden treasures in the snow. He also said he has some hidden treasures in the depth of the sea. Now, if God wants to give you that hidden treasure in the snow, how will he bring it to you? You may have to have a snowfall, heavy flood of snow coming down on your doorsteps. Well, that won't be good until the treasures arrive. If God said he wanted to give you those hidden treasures under the sea, how will he bring it to you? Well, you might go down and dive under the sea, if you know how to do that. Or he may have to bring a flood of water to your household, to your city. So when the flood is coming, you won't like it. But after the flood comes through, will be those gems, diamonds, left behind by the flood. God has done that in several occasions, and I'm giving you two examples. And that is what he mean by, what I mean by, sometimes there are blessings in disguise that God brings to people when he wants to bless you. I gave this example of the story of David. When David, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, before I talk about David, let me first start from Genesis and give you one particular example of Joseph in Egypt. Genesis chapter 37. Do you think that was a blessing in disguise? That Jacob lost his son Joseph. Jacob, this is the son that he had 12 sons, you all know. He had a son that he so much loved, this man, young man Joseph. He made him a coat of many colors. Became the envy, jealousy of all his brothers. That created a problem, yeah. But in the end, what happened? This man, they hated Joseph so much that they wanted to kill him. And by the mercy of God, somebody said, well, let's not kill him, he's our brother. Let's just get rid of him. Sold him into slavery. And they sold him to Egypt. Now, was that a blessing in disguise for Jacob, his father, even for the family? But we can look back and say, oh, that's a blessing in disguise. But let's look at the story as it proceeded. Now, they brought a cloth, the garment, the big coat of Joseph. They actually messed it up with blood of goats. And they brought it to his daddy and said, we found this. Look, whether this is your son's garment. He is dead, torn by lion, you know, wild animals. And Jacob cried and mourned and wept for how many days? For days. Weeping and crying for something that really didn't happen. But it was portrayed to him that it happened. This boy is dead. What do you think, God? Do you think God will say, well, Joseph, Jacob, don't be afraid. Angel will come and talk to him and say, no, this boy is not dead. God didn't do that. God didn't tell him that, well, this boy is not there, don't believe them. The boy is, you're going to see him in about 20 years. In about 12 years, this boy will be alive. God did not do that. So God allowed him to go through the mourning. He might have peace. Maybe you say, well, something happened, bad things, but I have kind of peace. But That peace may be there. He may have a peace in his heart, but that peace does not transform to seeing this boy again for many years. So he went through that troublous times, sad times, whatever you can call it. Tears over and over again for years. And we can look back at the history and say, God allowed Jacob to have those tears and tearful years and mourning years, and those boys never confessed. The other men, they did not confess. But in the end, he saw this man again. Joseph, you know the story. He became prime minister of Egypt. By all that he went through troubled things. He became prime minister of Egypt. And then he saved the whole family and saved the whole world. So it's a blessing in disguise. So that's what I mean, that God sometimes will bring some troublous times, but if you will just hang in there with God, it may be a blessing in disguise for you. Amen? So that is the first example I want you to meditate upon, because God's ways are not like our ways. So I was listening to somebody, maybe on the radio, somebody said, you know, Jesus Christ, some of those educationists or whatever they call it, they claim to be experts, they were on History Channel, talking about the stories of the Bible. And somebody said, well, you know, Jesus Christ, he came to save his people and the killing. He failed. I said, these people didn't know that. Sometimes God does things like that as a blessing in disguise. They thought he failed because he was killed, because he came like a Messiah for the Israelites, for the Jews, and they killed him. He failed. No, he didn't fall. He didn't fail, because that is how God works. God made it happen that way because he was going to save the whole world. Now we can look back. We that believe, we know that it was not a failure, because if they think he has come to save the Jews from Rome, they thought he failed because they just crucified him. He couldn't do it. No, it was a blessing in disguise. Not so. God is saving the whole world through that death on the cross. Amen? Now, well, let's look at so many other examples when God will bring trouble. But after the trouble is the blessing. You may say, did God actually bring the trouble, or did the trouble just brought the blessing? How can we analyze this? God knows how to bring blessing to you in disguise. That's all I'm trying to say. But the biggest one of it that I want to really capitalize on is when we get to the story of David. Because, well, like I said, when the trouble comes, there will be a lot of sorrow. You will be sad. There will be many trouble or things. It may be financial. That could be your trouble. You are losing your home. But if you have committed your life into the hand of the Lord, you may see the blessing in disguise later. And that is what this story is all about. But you have to hang in there with the Lord. You have to have a good attitude. There are many other tests that are going to be during the time of trouble that you must pass for the blessing to appear, to show up. Let me give you another story of the story of Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This story of Jehoshaphat is like the example I just gave you, and not an example, like a suppose. I say, suppose God wants to give you the blessings of the sea. He has to bring the flood to your city to bring that blessing from the depth of the sea. The flood has to come, and you won't like the flood. But when the water receded, or rescinded, whatever they call it, you will see the gems and the diamonds on the floor that you might pick up or gather. But you have to bear the flood. That is the blessing we are talking about, that, but it's going to be in disguise. Here is the story of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. There were very few then. Judah was just a small community, but he heard the story that multitudes of soldiers, army, are coming against him to destroy him and his city. And he was scared to death. He gathered all the people, every man and woman and children, to the temple of God, lifting up their eyes unto God. God, we don't know what to do. This army, they are too much for us. You can't fight them. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And he said, our eyes are on thee, O God. Then after he prayed and cried and led all the people in prayer to God, God prophesied and said, don't be afraid. This army, the battle is not yours. God is going to do wonderful things. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then they praise God and were expecting that Lord God is going to deliver them. But the part of it I want to point to is, after all the fear and after all the trouble, And the enemy actually came. Not that they didn't come. They came. And, you know, thousands, maybe up to a million of soldiers with all the things they needed to camp against this city and stay there for as long as it takes to wipe them out. By the time God was done, look at what the scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 20. After the enemy destroyed themselves and God wiped them out, they left all their goods behind. And it took them 3 days for Jehoshaphat to just come and gather all these goods. It's almost like God said, okay, all you gather all your gold and silver and take it to Jehoshaphat. From all these countries, gather all your gold, gather all your flock and all your cattle and your silver. Take it to Jehoshaphat. How can God give you the goods of your enemy? The enemy has to come as if he wants to attack you. And that was the first disguise. They were coming actually to bless because God has commanded it, a blessing for Jehoshaphat. But God didn't show you that way. God just said, an enemy is coming against you. And he was scared, but he has to do the right thing. He has to cry unto God. He has to stand there with God. And then that trouble became what? A blessing. But after the enemy was gone, they were gathering all this multitude of goods and spoils for 3 days, the Bible said. That is what we are talking about. This is the disguise I'm talking about. God blessed Jehoshaphat, but it was in a disguise. Think about that. Whatever is coming your way, look for that silver line. Amen? Whatever trouble you are going through, look for that silver line. It might be. Many people have given testimonies like that, where they lost their job. Maybe you have a very good job, you are employed, and suddenly you are fired or laid off, as we call it here. And you look for a job and look like you, and then somehow you decide, I'm going to start my own business. You started your own business and you prosper. Well, that means that layoff was a blessing in disguise. But when you are being fired and laid off, it didn't look like that. You are ashamed. You are sad. You are crying unto God. But God kind of put something in your heart that, why don't you start something? And it became a blessing in disguise. There are many ways God has blessed his people through many methods like that. So in short, what is it telling you? It's telling you that don't lose hope. Amen? Whatever is coming your way, is it sickness and disease or anything, don't lose hope. Some Yoruba proverb said, if there is life, there is hope. As long as you are still breathing and talking to the Lord, you can expect a blessing behind all these troubles. Whatever you are going through, you can expect a blessing behind all these troubles. Let me read that verse again. I said in verse 24 of 2 Corinthians chapter 20. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude that came against them now. And there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. That was this enemy that came against Jehoshaphat. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. That is just to make you to see that when God says he's going to bless you, he's going to bless you abundantly, but it might come with some disguised trouble. Just think about that. What brings rain? Cloud. And when you see cloud, it's always dark. And the darker it is, the more rain it's going to bring. Amen? So the more troubles, you'll be expecting a bigger blessing. That is how it works. The same with God blessing you. The multitude of enemy that was coming against Joshua, they are just like a battalion. Well, how much can a battalion carry? Maybe they don't carry much more than they can use. But 10 battalions is going to carry more gold and blessing, more blessing. So the more the trouble, and you are with God, and God is going to give you that blessing, the more the blessing that's coming. In fact, another man said the same thing recently. I heard it on the radio. He said, remember what's going on in the world? Whether that is the soul, it will have to be prophecy. He said, the more this economic crisis in the nation, in the world, see, God is coming to do something for, of course, his own people. You have to believe that he's going to do some great blessings. He's going to bring some blessings to you. If the cloud becomes darker, there's a blessing, a bigger blessing coming behind. So that is when we should be expecting the mightiest revival of God in the church. When the economic crisis is so huge. In fact, we all remember the prophecies that I think Neil Frisbee prophesied about that too. That the mighty revival that we are all expecting will come during the time of tantamount trouble in the world. So we are expecting a great revival where God is going to manifest the sons of God with great power to do wonders. But during that same time, will be the biggest trouble the world has ever seen, chaotic. So it goes together. The darkest cloud will bring the most rain. That's what I'm just saying. And think about that, whatever you are going through, individually, personally, there's a blessing that you should be expecting. And faith is expectation. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope you are getting something out of it. As you hear these sermons, think about yourself. Say, hey, what have I been going through right now, Lord? And you have been praying, Lord, help me. And you have almost give up. Don't give up. Don't give up hope, because this is what the Lord is saying. It's a faith, hope, and love. But see, that hope is what you are talking about today. Hope has something. It's an expectation that something is coming, something good is going to come out of this trouble that you may be going through. Everybody, if I ask you to give your testimony, just look back at your life and see whether you can testify to this. You will have many to think about. That, yeah, you know, when I got through this trouble, something better came out. When I had that trouble, something later came out that is good. It is always the case. Especially for those who know the Lord. Why? The Bible said, all things, everybody say all things, work together for good. For who? To those who love the Lord. So it's the Lord that we are talking about. So if you don't know the Lord, you don't know what you are talking about, you are then depending on chance. You don't want to depend on chance. I'm going to give you opportunity to come and know the Lord before I finish this sermon. Because this blessings we are talking about is for those who know and love the Lord. Because it's God that brings blessings. So all good things, all perfect things come from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. He is going to bring the blessing, but like I said, it is ordained that most of the blessings come with cloud that's going to bring it. It's cloud is going to bring the blessing, and the cloud to us is dark, and darkness and no light. But that cloud is bringing the rain. You just have to bear the cloud, and here comes the rain. Amen? So the same way, in all this thing we are talking about, there's always going to be a dark cloud, but you have to hang in there. Endure, is what Bible says, endure all things. Then here comes the rain. 1 Samuel chapter 30 is the last story I'm going to talk about today before I invite you to come and pray. In this story of David, King David, which was the only part of it that I gave the other time, this is what happened in this story. King David had already fled from Israel because King Saul wanted to kill him. So he was now with the Philistines. And he, more or less, what you call, he was a fugitive. And he, what Americans would call defected. He defected to the Philistines. So by this time, he was with the army of the Philistines. And there come a war between the Philistines and Israel. And David was expecting, well, you are now on our side, so you're going to go to battle with us, okay? So he said, oh yeah, I'm going to go to battle with you. I'll be on the side of the Philistines, attacking my own country, the Israelites. And he went because he had to. But what happened is what we're going to read here. As he went with them, he has about 600 soldiers with him. That's David with his 600 servants that were soldiers with him. So they were following the Philistine army to go and attack Israel, King Saul and his army. Then the other Philistine, he was actually with one of the kings of the Philistines. And the other king said, well, who are these Hebrews? Why are they doing, what are they doing here? And the king that David and his men were sojourning with said, oh, that was David. You remember David? He killed Goliath. Remember him? He's now on our side. And these people said, no, we don't want him to be with us. He can change his mind and become an enemy with us and start fighting us from the back. No, let him get back. So that was the story. David had to, and his 600 men had to get out of the army and go back home. Home means where they were staying with the Philistines. That was the story in a nutshell. 1 Samuel chapter 30. But it took them about maybe 2 days, 1 day to go, and then another day to come back. In fact, they said, well, it's going to evening now, so just wait till the morning, and then you and your servants go back home. So it took them 3 days away from their house. By the time they got home, they found that the city where they were living had been burned by another enemy that attacked. That was the story where we are going. 1 Samuel chapter 30, Verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, this was the city where they were, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. Now, that was the blessing in disguise. Well, that's a blessing. David had two wives by that time, stayed home while they went to war. Most of these 600 men had wives and children that was camped in that city, Ziklag. And they went to war and left the women and the children in the house, and there came another army through the back door, took all the women and took all the cattle and burned the city and left. So when these men came back 3 days later and found that the whole city was taken, the houses burned down, what was happening? They cried. Every one of them wept for their children. But God won't tell you it's a blessing. You have to remember. God will not tell you it's a blessing in disguise. He's going to let you cry. He's going to let you weep. He's going to let you mourn. But now he's going to also give you something to do. You know, he's going to GI you up to something to go get that blessing that the cloud of trouble has brought. So you have to watch for that tickling from the Lord. God is going to give you that inkling that make you do something so that you can get a blessing. But this is what we are talking about, a blessing in disguise. So David and his men, they come to this place, verse 3. David and his men came to the city, and it was burned with fire. Verse 4, when David and the people that were with him lifted up, then they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You will weep too. If you have wife and children and they were gone and the city was burned, you do not know where to turn to. So that was what they were, all 600 men weeping. You know, that was sad when men wept. David had two wives and no children yet, and they were gone. Now, it's after they had no more strength to weep. So what that is the type I'm talking about, that cloud of trouble. Maybe you have gone through weeping periods in your life. Now, look unto Jesus so that he will show you the way. And this is what example we are hearing from David. These are the examples. I said, when those troubled times are occurring, there are some attitudes you must have, you must show to God, to bring that blessing. Because if there is a blessing for you and you don't know about it, how will you go get it? Let's say somebody send you a check for $1 million. Because whatever it is, they love you or they heard about you, and they send it to you and it's deposited into a bank account, and you are penniless, you are homeless. There have been stories like that in this country. Homeless, penniless, and yet they have inheritance they didn't know about. And they could die in that penury and never claim that inheritance. Something that could have taken them out of their misery, out of their homelessness. And if you don't know about it, it's no use to you. But for you to know about it, there are some attitudes that must be prevalent. There are some behavior, some characteristics you must show. And God will lead you to that blessing. So in the same example, we are seeing that story here in the story of David. He has to show to God that in the time of trouble, you have that character, that attitude. Still fearing God, still talking to him. Don't blame God that God caused this to happen to you, because that is where the tendency, the temptation many people run into. I told a story of one time I met a person that was homeless in the street right there in Phoenix, and I tried to talk to him about Jesus. He got offended. He was angry about when I mentioned, when I mentioned God, not that I've talked so much. I just wanted to give him hope. He was upset and angry and walked away and said, don't talk to me about God. Why? Because he thought God caused his trouble. He thought God was his problem. But no, God was the only one that could solve the problem. So you have to have a good attitude when you are going through that cloud of trouble for the blessing that we are talking about to show up. This is an example here right in the story of David. Because David, after they have wept and cried, they could have started blaming God and say, if God of Israel is with us, we shouldn't be like this. Things shouldn't be like that. The other people may try to do the same thing. In fact, they tried to stone David. But the Bible said David summoned courage. David encouraged. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Why? He was the leader and he led them to this city, led them to the Philistines. Now led them away to go and fight, and they came back. Their children were taken. So you can't blame them for thinking that way. But how we act, how we behave, like I said, is very important. He said, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. He said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's what we are talking about. You need to encourage yourself. And then he wanted to talk to God. Verse 7, David said unto Abiathar the priest, that is one of them that was a priest with them. He said, bring the ephod and let's talk to God. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Knowing the man David that he always wants to do something only when God tells him to do it. So he asked God, do you think I can overtake this army? And God said, pursue them, you overtake them. So the 600 soldiers decided to go and find out where this enemy came from, where they are right now. So they started pursuing. Verse 10. But David pursued. Verse 9. David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook. See, these men have been walking, they walk. You know, you have to know, they don't have all these trucks in like the armies have. They have to go by truck from miles. But they have to walk all the way to the enemy's camp. They walk with the Philistines. Now they walk back home, found this trouble. Now they are walking again. So some of them were tired. They just couldn't go any further. But the 400 of them went on and left their baggages behind so that they don't have to have too many things to carry while they are walking. Verse 11 is very important, because when you are going to look for your booty, when the blessings is going to come, you are still in this cloud. This cloud of trouble is still what is bothering you. There may be some tests. There may be some tests from the Lord. And here's one test that came right before their face. And they found an Egyptian in the field. Amen? You say, what's the important thing about that? They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. Now, this is a very important thing, because God may be planting an Egyptian in your own way to see how you are going to treat this Egyptian. That is a test. It may be a test. That is the compass. Because God is not going to send an angel. Sometimes that is your angel. That man that needs your help may be the angel. In fact, many times we have heard it, so the Apostle Paul said, some entertain angels unawares. Not so. I don't think he was talking about Lot in those days, because we only know about the story of Lot and the two angels that came to the city. But he said, some entertain angels unawares, and the angel that may be on your way may not be a spiritual angel. Maybe just that man that needed help. This Egyptian was just an Egyptian. It was not an angel planted there. It was an Egyptian. And he needed help. He was actually dying. So they found him in the field. And this is what they were in sorrow. They were in tears. But they have to stop and treat this Egyptian. That's what I'm trying to say. And God is trying to, sometimes God will allow that, because he wanted to see that you are complete. For this blessing, are you complete? Are you perfect? In fact, the Bible said that you may be perfect and entire because of your patience. Amen? So here is the Egyptian in the field, and what did they do? They brought him to David, and they have to give him bread. And he ate, and he made him drink water. So that is, you have to take care of this Egyptian, because that may be your solution. You have to remember, these people are trying to look for this army that came against them. Which direction did they go? They were looking at the floor to see tracks, and they saw tracks. They went this way, they went that way. And in the field where they are looking for tracks, they found this man that was dying. See? And that is what is the secret to their solution, is that man. But the man was almost dead, 3 days not eating anything, so they have to revive him first. And that is the secret that God is saying. Don't forget, remember, look for that Egyptian in the field. So your own Egyptian may not be a man, it might be something else. But look for it and take cautious care to take care of it, and because that may be the compass you are waiting for. I will give some examples. Maybe you are looking for a job and you decide and say, I'm going to do a business and I'm going to start, and there may be some article you need to read. That God make somebody give you that article that will shine a light in you that, if I want to do that business, this article is very helpful. That will give you inklings, insights in some of these things. Let me give a personal testimony. When I was out of job 2003 and I was looking for, and I started to look for anything to do, I started to start my own business. And a friend just came by and said, you know something? I saw this this free, whatever you call it, free training or free seminar. I'd like to go. You like to go with me? I said, well, he's talking about how to start your own business. Well, okay. That may be a compass. Do I need that? Well, you may have to pay some money, though, when you get to that place. Those guys are selling something. They tell you that it's a free seminar, but when you get there, they want to make you to buy their books. So those are all things. That may be your Egyptian in this. Do you want to say, yeah, I only have $500 left, but they say you have to buy this book for $100. You don't want to throw $100 down. So you have to decide. That may be your Egyptian that is going to help you start this business you wanted to start. So you may have to take that test. So that's just an example, and it may end up being the compass you are waiting for, you are looking for. Watch for that pointer that God sometimes will do to us. So how will I know this is right? Be able to speak to the Father. Let the Holy Ghost be leading you. That's all I can say. So the Lord was leading David in that story, and they saw this Egyptian, they made him well, and they asked him where he came from. Then he told them the whole story, that he was with the soldiers that destroyed Ziklag. But how come you are left behind? He fell sick. He fell sick. That could be the finger of God making that slave. He wasn't a slave. God made that slave fall sick, and his master said, I'm not going to be carrying a slave. Left him there to die, and they went on. 3 days, and by the time David got there, he was still alive. And he wake him up and gave him food, and he revived, and he told him the story. He said, can you lead up to these people? You will be able to recognize them. So he said, yeah, I can lead up to them. And he led them to this army, and David recovered everything. And more than everything, he recovered all the things these men, all these soldiers have been gathering from all the villages they have raided. Much more than David planned for. In fact, this is which chapter that said, that is why he called it a blessing in disguise. Verse 13 was where that man told them that he's an Amalekite and a Pharisee. And David said, can you bring me down to this company in verse 15? And he said, swear unto me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master. And I will bring thee down to this company. And when he brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there were escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And verse 18, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle. So in short, they had a lot from this booty that they got. But this booty wouldn't have gotten this booty if they have not, those guys have not come to destroy Ziklag. If those men have left Ziklag alone, David will only come back with his wife and children, whatever they have. But they have so much that you can see in the last verse, he said David had to be sending some of these booties to his friends in Judah to seek for their favor. In verse 26, and when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. God will give you the spoil of your enemies. This enemy will bring those spoils to your door, but they will come, you will be afraid the enemy has come. But they are bringing the spoil. So you have to stay with God, hang in tight with God, and don't give up. Don't give up hope during this time of trouble. But when the trouble comes, and you're hanging with God, and the trouble passes away, there is a blessing in it. In fact, another preacher said it this way: that it could be like a love test. God is testing you with that trouble, and if you pass the test, then comes the blessing. But see, this test we are talking about is the normal things that happen to mankind. Apostle Paul said, "There's no trouble that can come that is not common to man." It's going to be a common trouble. You say, it may not be soldiers coming to your door like David, but that was common in their days. The common trouble could be sickness. It could be everybody is being laid off now also. Yeah, so you also got laid off. It's common to everybody. You may say, why me, Lord? It's not going to be you individually. It's going to be just common thing. God used those common things to test some people also. But when you stand with God, and like we said, God is the one that's going to make all these bad things to come out for good to them that love him. Amen? So there's a blessing in disguise. But you have to know this God. Like I said, we have to know this God, and you have to commit your life into his hand and be able to listen to him and talk to him so that he can talk back to you. Because only those that love him, the Bible completely promised that this is to them that love the Lord. It's only to them that love the Lord that he's going to show back his love for you. So if you love the Lord, you should rest when the trouble comes. Rest in the Lord, like the Bible says, Psalm 37, and wait patiently for him. But if you don't know this Lord Jesus, then you are hanging on chance. The trouble comes, I heard somebody say, maybe a blessing. That's a chance. It's not guaranteed. A preacher said it one time, it has to be that this Jesus is your father. Then you should just rest and be assured that he is going to work it out for your good. That's what we are saying. Whatever is the trouble. Oh yeah, I just lost somebody. You lost, but just trust in the Lord. You may say, well, how do you mean I can trust in the Lord? I lost, he's dead, I buried him. Yeah, don't worry. You will see him later. Not so. You have to trust that you're going to see this simple later. Not like Jacob that he finally saw this same guy is still alive 20-something years. To him, the man was dead. But we have the hope that even though you saw him buried, so you should be sad. No, you don't have to be sad because you know he's going to a better place if he knows the Lord. But what we are seeing here today is every trouble, whatever is the trouble, there's always going to be a blessing for you. I can give a simple testimony here in a moment. This will not look like a testimony to you, but it is a testimony to me. When I was maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, that was when I lost my mom. I was just first year in high school. And I couldn't cry because they don't cry in this kind of a thing in Africa. But when I look back, after I grew up a little, after many years, I noticed that if I didn't lose my mom, I wouldn't go to high school. I said, what? That's how we are looking at this history. We are looking at history like this, history of David, and said, if those men have not come to destroy Ziklag, those booties, David wouldn't have gotten them. That's what we are seeing after we look back at history. History we always tell later. That's the same story I said. If I didn't lose my mom, I most likely won't go to high school. Why? Because there was no plan for it. No money. But when my mom died and I was the last baby, every family member gathered together. What do we do with this little boy now? It's the only responsibility that is going to be impacted by the death of this woman. So everybody contributed and said, well, there was a time he applied to this high school and they admitted him, but we are not planning for that because there's no money. So all the family members, all the members of the extended family gathered money together and said, let's get rid of him. So they get rid of me and throw me into the boarding school. We are there with no trouble because he's in the care of the boarding school and high school. So, well, everything will be at peace. That was how I went to high school. So when I look back, I said, it was a blessing in disguise. See? To me, it was a blessing. To the whole family, nobody could count that as a blessing. So that's why I said, sometimes the ways of God have passed. And if I didn't go to high school, I wouldn't be standing here today preaching to you guys. Praise the Lord. So God sees not as men sees. Many times we look at it and say, well, it's a failure. This failed. This can fail. Well, God sees beyond that. Another example is Naomi. Look at what story of Naomi in the Bible. The story of Ruth. You can read it in the story of Ruth. This woman and his family, they went all the way out of Israel and went to Moab with husband and two sons. Lived there for a long time. The two sons married Moabites. And something happened. The husband died. The two sons died. They are left with the women. That was terrible. They cried and cried and cried. And then Naomi said, well, what am I doing here? Let me go back to my city. So she decided to go back to Israel and told the other women, well, just go back to your families, you know. Go marry somebody else. Goodbye. And Ruth decided that no, she was not going back to her family and her idols. She was going to stay with Naomi. And you know the rest of the story. She stayed with Naomi. It was a terrible thing that happened to them. But in the end, this woman, Ruth, came with Naomi and came to Israel and married again. And that was the progenitor of King David and the Lord Jesus Christ. Through that line of that woman, Ruth, who was a Moabitess woman that decided that she was going to go back to Israel with this mother-in-law. You see, God planned that. Was that by chance? The ways of God, he said, like we preached a sermon some time ago, I said, there are some bigger pictures that we do not know, that God will allow some terrible things to happen for that purpose of that bigger picture. God is looking at the big picture that you may not see, and he's going to bring goodies out of troubles for you that love the Lord. Amen? And if you don't know the Lord, I want you to stand up with me. Everybody stand up. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ that we are talking about, you are holding, you are hanging on chance. And we are not preaching chance here. We are preaching faith in somebody, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't want to hang on chance. I want to invite you to come and know this Jesus so that you can be part of his family, because he takes care of his family. Whatever is the trouble, he may orchestrate the trouble, but it is for a purpose to bring you blessing. But if you don't know this Jesus, you can't claim that. You'll be like hanging on chance. And I want to invite you to come and know Jesus. Come forward. I will pray with you. And your congregation is going to pray for you. If you are here for the first time, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to be part of the family of God. That he said, all things work together for them that love the Lord. So it's going to make all things work together for you when you know Jesus. And I'm inviting you right now, come and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you say Lord, means you surrender your life to him, that Lord, take control right now. I've been leading my life myself all these years. I just want to hand it over to you, Lord, so that whatever is happening my way, you will work it out for my good. Come forward and I will pray along with you. And if you are going through any other trouble and you know that it's almost crushing you down, you almost gave up, there is hope if you will trust the Lord. And I want to pray along with you also so that we can bring that anointing that can even give you confidence. I remember one time I was out of job and single, not married, and my company was actually folding down. It was not a layoff. They just closed down and they have to kick us out of the building. That this, your boss has not paid rent. All of you, don't come back on Monday. We are shutting the door. And we have lost 2 weeks of pay or two paychecks by that time that the company couldn't pay. And I was praying for the company, praying, God help me. And I went before a prayer line, before Brother Frisbee, and he just prayed for me, and I felt confidence that everything is going to be all right. That may be what you need today. That troubles are, you don't know where you're going to get the next meal. We can pray. You say, well, it's not prayer you need. You need somebody to give you money. Somebody give you money may not be what you need, because you may finish that money and you need it again. You need another money. Somebody said, lead me, not just feed me. Don't give me fish. Give me out. Teach me how to fish. Then I will not be in want. So what you need perhaps is confidence in the Lord. And the Lord is going to give you that confidence so that you know he's going to work it out for you. So if you need that kind of prayer, come forward. We pray along with you. But if you have not known Jesus, and you want to be a family member of Jesus, come forward. I want to pray along with you. Because this is what the Lord said. The church is almost like an hospital where we can minister to one another. It's where you can trust the Lord. And the Lord himself is going to touch you. And every other people, if you just want to talk to the Lord yourself, talk to the Lord. But if you want me to pray along with you, come forward. But if you have not known Jesus, this is maybe your chance of knowing this Jesus. You say, well, why do I need to come forward to know Jesus? The Bible says, confess me boldly. If you deny me before men, say, I also will deny you before the angels, because angels make these things happen. That we just mentioned. He dispatches angels to go forth and make it happen for David. And they went ahead and did that for David. That sick man that you call the Egyptian, the angels will make him sick so that he can wait for David there. So God made the angels do those things. But he said, if you are denying me before men, I will deny you before the angels of God. So I don't know him. So the angels won't do anything for you. So that's why we invite you to come to Jesus boldly without being ashamed of Jesus. He said, confess him and he will confess you. And let's pray. Everybody just bow your head and pray. Just pray. Pray to Jesus yourself and say, Lord, help me. I don't know you. I want to know you. Put my name in your book that I'm now your servant. And I will trust you from now on. That's what you want to talk to the Lord if you don't know him. And if you know him, talk to him yourself about all that we have just mentioned.